The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you again for joining me. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483. Well, mass panic is breaking out about this coronavirus. And number one, panic doesn't help anybody. And the news media is fanning the flames. During the top of the hour break, I had Fox News on here in the studio. I find them much more reliable than CNN. But at the top of the hour, it was panic, 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 hysteria, hysteria. The reporter that I won't even mention was, we've never seen anything like this. I mean, the pitch of his voice and, all right, there are serious concerns. The stock market has taken a huge hit. I mean, a huge hit. And that's serious. There is no doubt about it. It is serious. The coronavirus is spreading. There's no doubt about that. Will it become a pandemic? We don't know. It doesn't look like it. Is it possible? Well, anything is possible. But the president has tried to tamp down fear and hysteria. The president has tried to tamp down fear and hysteria. He really has. And, I just realized I forgot about an interview. Pardon me, I'm sending an email. I forgot to look at my calendar. I had an interview scheduled for right now. And, of course, when you're on the air, you're not supposed to admit things like that. But, hey, I'm very fallible, and we'll link up with this interview, which I think you're going to really enjoy, right after the next break. So I apologize to you for that. And I obviously will apologize to my guest when I get in touch with him. But anyway, back to this coronavirus thing. The president tried to alleviate fear. He made, I think, reasonable comments. We think we have it under control. We think we have made preparation for whatever will happen. And the Democrats, unfortunately, are trying to use this for politics. There's no doubt about it. They're trying to use this for politics, and I think that's sad. Things like this should bring us together as a country, but right now we are so politically divided that that's almost impossible. Now, again, I want to plead with all of us not to panic. There is much that we just don't know yet. So let's not panic. However, other countries are taking this very, very seriously. For instance, Japan. Now, of course, Japan is much, much closer to the outbreak in China than we are and most other countries. But the Prime Minister of Japan is requesting, you ready for this? That every school in Japan close its doors until late next month. Every school in Japan closed down. That would impact 12.8 million students in 34,800 schools. So beginning today, in the country of Japan, every public school in the country will be closed, quote, until further notice. And to give you an idea of just how serious they're taking this, the Japanese school year ends in March. So this is impacting final exams. This is impacting graduation. This is impacting basically the entire educational system in the country of Japan. But the government of Japan believes that the risk is serious enough that they are shutting down every school in the entire country. Can you imagine if that happened in America? In a statement on the request, the prime minister said, quote, the coming week or two is an extremely important time. This is to prioritize the health and safety of the children and take precautions to avoid the risk of possible large-scale infections. He added that schools should consider the virus when planning March exams and graduation ceremonies. As of yesterday, Japan had 910 confirmed cases of the virus, and 8 people have died. 910 confirmed cases, 8 people have died. The prime minister has also requested business owners to permit employees to work from home or work reduced hours in an effort to stop the contagion. So obviously, the government of Japan is taking this very seriously. So we have to admit this is a serious threat. Is Japan overreacting? Maybe so. But I think more than anything, we pray that God's hand would stay the spread of this virus and pray for wisdom. Now, I don't want to make this political, but if this virus were to get out of hand in America, guess who's going to get the blame? Whether he bears any responsibility whatsoever or not, Donald Trump. He will bear the blame. In fact, there is a New York Times editorial today calling it the Trump virus. No, I'm serious. Calling it the Trump virus. Pray for wisdom, guidance for our president and the administration. We really need to pray for wisdom on how to deal with this, and the medical officials as well. All right, we're going to step aside, take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have a special guest that I think you will want to meet. Stay tuned. We'll return.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. This is an interesting article. Interesting article. Headline: Church hopping practice, sign of the times. Now, this is in part a report from the folks at Barna Research, and also One News Now, which, by the way, is an excellent news source. One News Now, if you like conservative, Christian slanted news, I recommend One News Now. They're one of the news sources that I depend upon on a daily basis. But anyway, according to this report, church hopping is something new. This is brand new. Hey, I have been in full-time local church ministry now for 50 years. I got news. Church hopping is not new. During the 25 years that I pastored in Westerville, I can't tell you how many people we had come to our church that had already been to 2, 3, 4 churches of like faith, Bible-believing churches. They got bent out of shape about this. They got bent out of shape about that. They didn't like the color of the carpet. The preacher didn't preach long enough. The preacher preached too long. The auditorium was too hot. The auditorium was too cold. The music was too loud. The music was too soft. Who knows? But they, you know, people would hop from church to church. This is nothing new. And this article is like, this is something new. People are involved in church hopping. It got so bad. Now, okay, it's time for a honest confession, all right? At first, you know, my wife and I came here in 1976 to begin a brand new church. We didn't know a soul in the area. We didn't know anybody. But we knew that God wanted us to come to Central Ohio, the Columbus area, and then ultimately Westerville and begin a new church. That's about all we knew, is that we were obeying God. And just the two of us moved here and started a brand new church in the what used to be the Blinden Grange Hall over on College Avenue in Westerville. And we saw really rapid growth, which was exciting. You know, young couple coming here from Kansas to start a new church, and all of these people start coming. But it was great. It was wonderful. What I was not smart enough and wise enough to know at that time, or mature enough to know, not all those people really wanted to come for the right reasons. And I learned a lesson. People who come angry leave angry. You know, and Joy and I would go and visit them in their home. Yeah, well, we left this church, and the pastor did this, and the pastor did that, and one of the deacons did this, and, well, we're never going to go back there. Oh, we'll treat you better. We're so glad that you're here. We understand. No, I don't think I ever said that. But I just thought, wow, we're growing. Isn't this wonderful? And until I realized, people who come angry leave angry. And, I mean, we didn't have a revolving door by any means. But I learned the hard way. And it was the hard way. I got the scars to prove it. After a few years, when someone would come to our church from a like-minded, Bible-believing church. Now, they came to our church from a completely liberal church, an apostate church, a church that didn't preach the word. Wonderful. But if they came from a like-minded, Bible-believing church, I did everything I could to talk them into going back. Go back. Get things straightened out with the pastor and the leadership and the people of the church. Just don't. I'm not telling you that you're not welcome here, but go back. That's why I see. Boy, I want to wade into this carefully and cautiously, and I mean that. And I want to be sensitive. But I see new churches popping up about every other week around Central Ohio. Seriously. Half the schools in Central Ohio have a new church. Well, there are many good things about that. And here's where someone may misunderstand me, and I hope not. If those new churches are reaching new people, if they're winning people to Christ, if they're reaching out to people who are unchurched or people who are in a liberal, dead church, if they're reaching new people, wonderful, praise God. But if all they're doing is rearranging the pews and the chairs and drawing people from this good church and that good church, yeah. And again, I want to be very sensitive and careful about this. But sadly and unfortunately, that's the way many churches grow. Biblically, the way a church should grow is through evangelism, winning people to Christ, new people, bringing people into a solid Bible-believing church when they have not been a part of a Bible-believing church. If that's the way you're growing, wonderful. But if the only thing you're doing is competing with other Bible-believing churches in the area and trying to prove that your music is better than theirs and your youth department is more crazy, more wild than theirs, and all you're doing is drawing people from other churches, what are you accomplishing? So I know that's not a popular opinion. I get that. But I just thought it was comical that this article thought that church hopping was something new and, quote, and I'm quoting, a sign of the times. It's always been around. Always been around. And I counsel people, stay in your church. Support your church. If you have differences with the pastor or the leadership, work it out. Work it out. If at all possible, work it out. Stay. Be a devoted member. And work to solve problems, not create more by just hopping to another church down the street. And to all of the new churches in Central Ohio that are winning people to Christ, praise God. May your tribe increase. All right. We'll be back.